What do you want about now?
It's quite simple, he said. I'm saying you ought to get married, and soon.
Oh, come on, Siegfried, you're joking.
Why should I be?
Well, damn it, I'm only just starting on my career. I've no money, no nothing.
I've never even thought about it.
You've never even...
Well, tell me this. Are you courting Helen Olderson, or aren't you?
Well, I suppose you could call it that.
Siegfried settled back comfortably in his chair, put his fingertips together, and assumed a judicial expression.
Good. Good.
You admit you're courting the girl.
Now, let us take it a step further. She is, from my own observation, extremely attractive.
In fact, she nearly causes a traffic pile-up when she walks across the cobbles on market day.
It's common knowledge that she is intelligent, equable, and an excellent cook.
Perhaps you would agree with this.
Well, of course I would, I said, nettled at his superior air, but what's this all about?
Why are you going on like a high court judge?
Look, I'm only trying to establish my point, James, which is that you seem to have an ideal wife lined up, and you are doing nothing about it.
In fact, not to put too fine a point on it, I wish you'd stop playing around and let us see a little action.
But it's not as simple as that, I said, my voice rising. I've told you already, I'd have to be a lot better off, and anyway, give me a chance. I'd only been going to the house for a few weeks. Surely you don't start thinking of getting married as soon as that, and there's another thing. Her old man doesn't like me.
Siegfried put his head on one side, and I gritted my teeth as a saintly expression began to settle on his face.
Now, my dear Chutner, don't get angry, but there's something I have to tell you for your own good. Caution is often a virtue, but in your case, you carry it too far. It's a little flaw in your character, and it shows in a multitude of ways. In your wary approach to problems in your work, for instance, you are always too apprehensive, proceeding fearfully step by step when you should be plunging boldly ahead. You keep seeing dangers when there aren't any. You've got to learn to take a chance, to lash out a bit. As it is, you are confined to a narrow range of activity by your own doubts.
Oh, the original stick in the mud, eh?
Oh, come now, James, I didn't say that, but while we're talking, there's another small point I want to bring up. I know you won't mind my saying this. Until you get married, I'm afraid I shall fail to get the full benefit of your assistance in the practice, because, frankly, you are becoming increasingly besotted and bemused to the extent that I'm sure you don't know what you're doing half the time.
What the devil are you talking about? I never heard such that. Kindly hear me out, James.
What I'm saying is perfectly true. You're walking about like a man in a dream, and you've developed the disturbing habit of staring into space when I'm talking to you. Now, there's only one cure, my boy.
And it's a simple little cure, isn't it? I shouted. No money, no home, but leap into matrimony with a happy cry. There's not a thing to worry about.
Aha, you see, there you go again, looking for difficulties. He gave a little laugh and gazed at me with pitying affection.
No money, you say?
Well, one of these days, you'll be a partner here. Your plate will be out on those railings in front of the house, so you'll never be short of your daily bread.
And as regards a home, look at all the empty rooms in this house.
You could set up a private suite upstairs without any trouble.
So that's just a piffling little detail.
I ran my hand distractedly through my hair. My head was beginning to swim.
But you make it all sound so easy.
But it is easy.
Siegfried shot upright in his chair. Go out and ask that girl without further delay and get her into church before the month is out.
He wagged a finger at me.
Learn to grasp the nettle of life, James. Throw off your hesitant ways and remember.
He clenched his fist and struck an attitude.
There is a tide in the affairs of men, which, taken at the flood, okay, okay,
I said, rising wearily from my chair. That's enough. I get the message. I'm going to bed now. And I don't suppose I'm the first person to have had his life fundamentally influenced by one of Siegfried's chance outbursts. I thought his opinions ridiculous at the time, but he planted a seed which germinated and flowered almost overnight. There is no doubt he is responsible for the fact that I was the father of a grown-up family while I was still a young man. Because when I brought the subject up with Helen, she said yes, she'd like to marry me, and we set our eyes on an early date. She seemed surprised at first. Maybe she had the same opinion of me as Siegfried, and expected it would take me a few years to get off the ground. Anyway, before I had time to think much more about it, everything was neatly settled. And I found I had made a magical transition from jeering at the whole idea to making plans for furnishing our prospective bedsitter at Skeldale House. It was a blissful time with only one cloud on the horizon, but that cloud bulked large and forbidding. As I walked hand in hand with Helen, my thoughts in the air, She kept bringing me back to earth with an appealing look. You know, Jim, you'll really have to speak to Dad. It's time he knew.